all of you in the name of Jesus, the one who we have come to worship. I don't think I'm wrong in my thinking this morning that it is Mother's Day. It was not mentioned at all this morning. It kind of surprised me that nobody made mention of that. Back in 1981, there was a young couple on a Sunday morning, Mother's Day Sunday morning, left their house, but they did not head for church. They turned the opposite direction. As they were going, they were meeting people from their church heading to church. But they had another goal in mind: becoming parents for the first time. The changes that would bring in their lives. The young woman becoming a mother for the first time on Mother's Day. And the father, somewhat apprehensive, somewhat worried, because it was something he had never experienced before. Becoming a father, the responsibility that that brings. As that young couple that day became parents for the first time and looked into the face of that little baby and heard that little baby's cry, it was an experience that changed their lives. This morning, we don't want to necessarily eulogize mothers, but we want to look at the part that they play in the lives of many or every individual on this earth. How many of you have a mother that is living today? How many of you have a mother that is living? In the past year, there should have been a lot of blessed mothers. And I say that because we need to remember that just because there is a day that is set aside for Mother's Day, it doesn't mean that that is the only time of the year, the only day of the year, that we honor and respect and show love and care for our mothers. Those of us who have mothers that have passed away, there's a lot that lingers in our minds of what mother did, what mother said. The love, the correction, the discipline that we received goes with us the rest of our lives. God, in his infinite wisdom, has placed within the character and heart of a woman a huge reserve supply of love, compassion, and sympathy. This heart of love can be seen expressed as a woman relates to her child. Each one of us is a recipient, to a greater or lesser degree, of this vast supply of love. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 49. There's a verse here I'd like to look at the beginning of this message. Message is entitled A Mother's Love. And God uses God uses the love of a mother, the heart of love and the drawing of a mother to her child. He uses that to represent his love for his children, for his people, for the children of Israel in that day. In verse 15 of this chapter, Isaiah 49, verse 15 says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." Now, God here is using this characteristic that is in a mother to help us to understand the love that he has for those that he calls his chosen, his children, the ones that he loves. And he does say that there is a possibility that a woman may forget, and we see that in the world today. We see how a woman, and I believe, brothers and sisters, it first started with the men turning away from their children and leaving their children, forgetting about them, so to speak, and going and living their life. But we see today that there are mothers that are doing that. They are leaving their children. They're turning away from them. God says, yes, a woman may forget. There is a possibility. But he says, I will never forget you. But the fact that God uses this as an analogy for his love shows to me that the love that a mother has for her children is one that is, there's not a way to explain it. We just experience it. A little bit like with God. Can you explain God's love? I can't. And yet I can experience it. And the same holds true for a mother. The strong love that a woman, that a mother has for her child is one that is put there by God, I believe. We see in the world today that there's much ado, much noise made about equality between women and men, and how women need to, you know, be equal with men, be paid the same as men, have the same opportunities as men. Why? In light of what God says about women, about a mother, why are they looking for more? Because they have lost the our society has lost the greatness of motherhood. Our society has lost the respect for mothers. Our society has laid aside the joy of motherhood and has brought to the forefront that a woman needs to succeed and be equal to men. Sisters, this morning, young people, young women, remember that God has created you for a great work in his kingdom, to take care of children, to teach and to train children. The heart of a mother will not soon forget her child. Let's look at some Bible examples. The one example that stands out to me in the Bible as far as a mother is in 1 Kings chapter 3, where two women, and he calls them harlots, low-class women, were living in a house together, and they both had babies about the same time. And the one woman's baby tragically died. And she switched it in the middle of the night. She switched it with the other woman's baby. These two women came before Solomon. And we oftentimes think of the great story of the wisdom of Solomon and how he thought up of a plan to discern which one of these women is the true mother of the baby, because he didn't know. But the reason he could come up with that plan and the reason that plan worked is because of the love of a mother for her child. This woman, when it came down to the fact of her child being killed to settle the argument, she was willing to give her child to the other woman in order to save its life. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we look at the love that mother had for her child. She was not ready to see her child die. She would rather give it up and allow it to live than to have it slain. We think of the life that these women were living. And yet, even in that seemingly cold heart, there was a heart of motherhood. I ask you this morning, not just as mothers, but as fathers as well, how much do you love your children? I know sometimes they can be rather frustrating. They can do things that cause us to weep for them as they get older. But do we love them? Do we have the heart of love as this mother had for her child? We see also an example in the Bible of the love of a mother to a child. And it was a partial love. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 28, it says, Abraham loved Esau because he ate of his meat, but Rebekah loved Jacob. It was a partial love. And as we look at this, we recognize that sometimes our love, the love for our children, and our desire to see them succeed, and our desire to have them have the best in life, can sometimes be detrimental. And I say this very carefully because I realize that we can take this to an extreme, but I do believe that we need to remember that our children, even though we love them, and a mother cannot soon forget her child, even though we love them, even though we care about them, we need to remember that they are human and that they will at times have the wrong ideas and have the wrong goals and have the wrong desires, and we need to train them. We need to correct them. We need to direct them. Abraham loved Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his meat. Rebekah loved Jacob, it doesn't say specifically why, but I believe that he was probably more of a help to her than what Esau was running around out in the hills hunting animals. But sometimes there's personalities and ways of a child that will influence us to love a greater or lesser extent. Sometimes there are children that they're just easy to love because they give so much. And brothers and sisters, I think every one of us recognizes that even though we weren't the most lovely person, our mothers loved us. I think of many times when I was probably a frustration to my mother, especially when I was younger. And as I grew up and I became a teenager, there was many times that I'm sure my mother was praying for me. And those prayers ascending to the throne of God made a difference in my life. I'm sure I wasn't the most lovable child when I was little. There's many things that come to mind that make you wonder how mother could keep on loving. But we need to recognize the fact that even though we love the child, there needs to be correction and discipline. There needs to be equality of love in the family. A mother's love is one that is tempered by her love for God. The devotion to a child should never come in the way of devotion and obedience to God. And we see how God used that situation, and in spite of maybe some failures in the home, God worked out to his will and his purpose what he had planned. God had said that the elder shall serve the younger. God had planned that Jacob would be the one where he would continue the godly lineage through. And I believe that even though there was some partiality in the home, I believe it was a mother's love that made the man out of Jacob that he was, even though he had to meet God and to recognize God and to have God work in his life. But I believe it was the love of a mother that put him on the pathway that brought him to that point. Every one of us today that sits here has in one way or another experienced the love of a mother in our lives. There are individuals in the world today who have never experienced that. There are individuals in the world today who have had the sad experience of having a mother reject them. There are individuals in the world today who have had the sad experience of having never really known their mother for various reasons. If you think about it with me for a minute, what it would be like if you had never known your mother. We can't fathom that. But there are many individuals, many children in the world today who have that experience. We ask ourselves why the world, why society is going the direction it is. Is it because, first of all, fathers and then mothers have not taken their place? In 1 Samuel chapter 1, We read of Hannah, the mother who was loved by her husband, but she had no children. She prayed. She longed to be a mother, and she prayed, and God answered her prayer. And she was faithful in fulfilling her vow to God that if he would give her a son, she would give him back. She sang a song of rejoicing. The Bible speaks of mothers who rejoiced when their son was born. Even Eve, the very first mother, when her first son was born, she rejoiced, "I have received a man of the Lord." That man turned out to be a murderer, but I don't believe it was the fault of his mother. Hannah here rejoiced when she received a son. We see the joy of a mother over her child, rejoicing that a child is born, and the heart of a mother. And you know, we talk about the heart of a mother, and we talk about how mothers feel about a child of their own. But you know, you don't have to wait till a woman has a child of their own to see that instinct. Have you ever witnessed a small child, a very small girl, very small, very young, and you give them a doll, and they know just exactly how to hold it? That desire, that love, that tenderness is already there. And when we think about that, we think about our mothers, we think about what our mother did for us, and that tenderness, that love, we think of Hannah, the rejoicing that she had over her child. Our mothers did the same for us. They rejoiced. They showed us love. They showed us care and tenderness. And yes, at some point along the line, most mothers need to be willing to give up their children. Maybe not as young as what Hannah had to. But most mothers sometime along the line need to let go of their children as they get married and start a life of their own. But that mother's heart still stayed there. She went to see that child on a regular basis, and she brought him clothes. She brought him a little coat. She didn't forget about her child. Mothers, when your children grow up and they leave home, you don't forget about them, do you? You can't. Is that a comfort and a blessing to those of us who think back on our mothers and what they did for us? The blessing that it is to have a mother that continues to be concerned, probably continues to pray, and continues to rejoice as she sees her child, even though they're married and gone on and started a life in a home of their own. She rejoices to see them prosper. She rejoices to see them doing the will of God. In Luke chapter 1, the angel comes to Mary and says, "You're going to be a mother. You're going to have a son. He's going to be the Son of God." And Mary says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She was surrendered. A mother's love surrenders herself to God. A mother's love gives herself over to God's will. You know, there's many people in the world today who would say that motherhood is something that ties you down. Motherhood is something that ruins your life, ruins the possibility of a career. I'm thankful that I had a mother that said, I'm ready to do God's will in my life. I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. I'm ready to raise a family. I'm ready to be a mother to children. And I believe this morning, as we look at our own mothers, we realize that our mothers gave up a lot for us. Our mothers laid aside their own will to do the will of God and to raise children to His honor, to His glory. Our mothers gave up themselves. How thankful are we for a mother's love? How thankful are we for the woman that we call mom? Have you told her so? Have you expressed your thankfulness? Have you expressed your love? Does she know that you care? Does she know that you love her? You know, Mary went through a lot. She made that trying trip to Bethlehem. She gave birth in a stable. When the child was very young, she, along with her husband and the child, fled to Egypt by night. Remember the 3 days they searched for their son in Jerusalem, when they thought he was with the group when they left Jerusalem, and they came and they realized in the evening that he was not with them. They had a whole day's journey back to Jerusalem, and they searched. Can you imagine the mother's heart? Joseph tells Jesus when they find him that they sought him sorrowing, not sure where he was or what happened to him. What is in a mother's heart during that time? The wedding of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother comes to him and says, they have no wine. And he took care of the problem. At the cross, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and dying, it says that his mother was there. Brothers and sisters, can we think for just a moment the heart of our mother and what she has done for us today? The times when, and I don't want to say that Jesus was astray, but the times when we were astray and she was searching for us with sorrow in her heart. What about the times when our mother had something that needed to be taken care of? She had a problem that she needed help with. Were we willing to help? The times when we were suffering, the times when things were going wrong in our lives And our mother was right there. She was going through them with us. Brother, sister, the love of a mother, we can never repay. We can never repay that. But do our mothers know? My mother's gone now for a little over a year. But those of you who raised your hand this morning and said your mother is still living, you have the opportunity to make sure that your mother knows that you appreciate and you're thankful for what she has done for you. You're thankful for the love that she had for you. And even though you may think that, well, my mother didn't really love me, my mother didn't really have the love that she should have had, you can still thank her for being your mother. You can still say, Mom, I love you. I have a poem to read in closing, simply titled, Mother. Mother, oh, what thoughts that word inspires. Of home, of love and care, of tender touch that eased the pain, of songs, of smiles, of cheer. Mother, oh, what love you've shown to me, tender love, warm and true. Even when I'd wandered far away, I'd feel that love anew. Mother, may God in heaven bless you for all the sleepless nights you spent in worry and in prayer, concerned if I'm all right. Mother, words can never all repay for what you've done for me. Yet thank you for your love and care. May God richly bless thee. Let's kneel for prayer.